wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
That is right, folks. It is the most wonderful time of the year. At least that's what I think. The National Sports Collectors Convention is a wonderful time. There's so much cool stuff, especially as you collector, you can just go crazy just buying whatever you want. And as a dealer, there's certainly some perks. I mean, certainly you got to be there all day and it's a lot of work, but certainly you can move some inventory and maybe connect with collectors one-on-one that you might only deal with via email or on you might not even deal with them at all. And so it's a nice time for many of them as well to get face-to-face with people, I think, as well. But before we get into that, you know, I must be Mr. Negativity. You know, you can tell it's probably pretty hot in where I live in California. And so maybe that's getting to me. So I got a few things before we get to my brother. We're going to bring my brother on at Sports Card News. If you follow on Twitter, that's who that is. We're going to bring him on, and he's going to talk mainly about all the cool stuff going on at the National. But he made some observation. There were some other you know, around this time, Twitter is fairly lively. And you know me, I can't sit out of a lively Twitter conversation if, you know, my life depended on it. So I got involved a little bit today, and there was a couple topics that chapped my you-know-what or kind of got my got me firing on all cylinders. So I'll talk about that before we get into kind of the joyous occasion of talking to my brother about what happened at the convention today on day number one. First thing, my brother said most of the attendants and people tended to agree, third parties kind of backed him up on this. There was a lot of older people. It was a lot of older people. Obviously, maybe there's kids in school or kids that have camp or have better things to do on a Thursday or Wednesday, whatever day this is. You know, my guess is you have more kids on the weekend. You know, there's dads that probably are working today that can't necessarily bring their son in because they're working. So maybe on Saturday and Sunday, the demographics is different. But it does give an insight into who the diehards in this hobby are. And it's a lot of and older is probably not a great term for them. Probably, I don't know what the term is, but not a kid, basically. And why kids don't collect. And there's tons of reasons. We could have a whole show. I've had shows on why kids don't collect and why it's not that hard to market to them. Kids spend 8 hours a day, 9 months a year at the same place. Schools. Ask Pepsi how hard it is to market to kids. I mean, the schools and the governments and the parents have been trying to drive Pepsi out. That's how good the marketing worked to the kids. That's how much kids love soda and love Pepsi products and Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut reading program when I was a kid wasn't because Pizza Hut, which is owned by Pepsi, didn't want to give away a bunch of free pizzas. So people think it's hard to market to kids. They're in the same place half the majority of their life till they turn 18. It's really easy to get to kids. They're in freaking school all day. It's kind of hard to cut through red tape. I've taught at a school myself, but I taught at a private school. I'd certainly accept materials and accept things from anybody that was willing to help my kids learn. Hell yeah. So I don't blame anyone for not having kids in the market. It's really easy to market to kids, but that's not really my point. My point, one of my maybe strongest arguments is why kids don't collect today is when I was a kid, my dad said, oh, I wish my mom didn't throw out my cards. I had Mickey Mantles. I had all these cards that are worth $10,000 now. My dad had them all. Everybody's dad did. When I owned a card shop, that's a story I heard probably 1,000 different times from 1,000 different people. Was I used to have XYZ. I used to have Babe Ruth. I used to have Ty Cobb. My mom threw them out. Or I didn't think they'd be worth anything. Maybe the same thing's going to happen today. People don't think cards are worth anything today. Or that they busted. Maybe they'll be worth something. Who knows? But it doesn't always happen. Didn't happen to every Corvette that was made or every Camaro. So chances are it's not going to happen to every card that's made. Or every era of cards that was made. But the message is different. Am I going to pass down to my son, oh, you need to collect baseball cards and save them all and keep them in good condition like my dad did? No. I'm going to say, hey, cards busted. I wasted a lot of money on cards. I actually went broke in a card business. Probably not a good idea. Most rich people I know invest money in the stock market. In fact, every rich person I know invests their money in the stock market. a far better thing to do with any kind of money you have, whether it's casual money or money you're saving for retirement. The more money you invest in the stock market over a long period of time, it's been proven and proven and proven time and again, even when you have crashes in like 2001 or whatever, in 2008, it's come back in a straight arrow up since then. And rich people spend money to avoid customer service hassles. Rich people get butlers and cooks and have people that drive them around. Tops is a customer service nightmare. I have stacks of emails from people that are probably pretty well off. Some of the signatures and some of the at domains I get emails from, I'm sometimes shocked that this guy collects cards. And I'm not surprised that he's pissed about having to wait for a redemption, or he bought his son a box and now his son's all pissed that he's not getting the card that he was promised. And I could see why a lot of them get out of the hobby. And the reason why I talk about rich people is not because they're all important, and that's the most important thing in life, but if you want to grow a business, talk about the people you want to attract. People with money, people with getting a good job and getting a paycheck. So that's the reason why people aren't, those are two reasons out of probably about 200 why kids don't collect these days, is the lessons I'm going to pass down to my kids and the lessons a lot of fathers are passing down to their kids that collected in the 90s is, hey, these guys could do steroids. Hey, the cards, they can overmake the cards, or people can kind of, you know, get kind of done with collecting cards and they can go down in value. You can lose a lot of money and you could think you had a great investment or something like that and it's gone. Just like homes, just like stocks, we'll all be teaching our kids the same cautious lessons. It won't be, hey, I had Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantles and they're all worth $10,000. You know, it doesn't happen like that. And we'll be passing different messages down onto our kids. That's why kids don't collect. Also, maybe even more importantly, is you can't grow this hobby if you piss rich people off. And a good way to piss a rich person off is give them poor customer service. And what do 90% of the companies do these days? They give you poor customer service. Or these box breakers, and that's my next point, is somebody from the industry summit called these guys innovative. And the only reason why he called them innovative is because his main customers, and I don't blame him for this, his main customers are distributors and the manufacturers, who are the only two people that benefit from box breaking directly. Those are the only ones making money from that. So over the long period of time, those guys are going to rake every profit. So these guys aren't innovative when they send you to Vaughn TV. Vaughn TV was registered in 1995 and it's in beta. These guys send you to sites that are not even secure. And I'm not saying sports card radio is secure. I've been hacked like 5 million times. That's what happens when you have a popular website. People hack you, but I don't store anybody's, I sure as hell would never store anyone's credit card information or anything, email addresses, nothing. I don't store any of that. And there's a reason for that. Because if you're not willing to spend a decent amount of money securing your website, you better believe somebody's going to hack into it. Better believe that. It's not even that hard. They hack it. Guys hack into the IRS and Chase and Wells Fargo and companies that spend millions and billions of dollars on securing systems. Those guys hack into that like it's not a problem. And it isn't. It's not that hard. Computers are set up by people. So it makes sense. Even security are set up by people. So it's easy that people can break into them. And these box breakers aren't innovative. It's not like they're going to innovate on making a real secure website, but they don't even send you websites that are halfway secure. Most of them don't even have websites. So people in this industry that call those guys, and the thing that chapped my you-know-what was check out my cards was included in these tweets. And talk about a website that actually is innovative. And that investors wouldn't laugh at. Trust me, check out my cards is picking low-hanging fruit in cards right now. Once they get their tractions going in coins and comics, they're going to look back on cards and laugh. That company is going to make 10 times more money in coins and comics than they do in cards. I'd invest in the company because of that. Cards are like low-hanging fruit for them. And they innovated in a way. eBay, and when I talked to eBay and Amazon
people that run departments in those companies, head of collectibles in those companies, they know who Checkout My Cards is. They're aware of that competition. I have to explain box breaking for 30 minutes for them to even barely get a clue of what that is. So don't believe everything. I mean, you can believe what you want, but people out there, I don't care who they are in this industry, calling box breakers innovative. Just 2 weeks ago, they were all running illegal raffles. And they still all send you to Vaughn Live TV or similar type websites that have been in, quote, beta since 1995. And those websites will still be in beta. Nobody makes money off live streaming. Nobody does. There's a reason why those sites, you have to, the only free option is some wacky live streaming site. It's because you have to pay to live stream. But you really don't. If you're the only one streaming through a server, you guys are getting misled. If any computer programmer is saying, "Oh, I can't do live streaming," he's talking about multiple people logging in. How does the guy at Vaughn Live TV do it? You could easily pay someone at Odesk $50 to set you up a website and stream it live on your own server. It's not hard to stream one video live a day or an hour a day, even in HD. It's not that expensive. Yes, it does cost money. But this is, I'm throwing out kind of a weird warning, and I hope I didn't lose too many people here, but if these box breakers claim that they have so much money and they can't even spend $100, $200 a month hosting a website, they don't have that much money. $100, $200 a month on a website is nothing. Most of them do it for free. So that should tell you how much money they make. When you have to host your site on a free option, it means you're not making any money. Profit. Yeah, you could sell $3,000 worth of box break spots, but after all the time spent and all the money you have to then, you have to sell another spot after you pay your bills for the month. I mean, anyways, enough with the negativity. 10 minutes of negativity is enough. Let's get back. Let's go back to the joyous occasion of the national sports, and I don't want to downplay how cool it is. Maybe that's why I'm in a bad mood. So I'm not there. My brother's been on a vacation for a month, or like he's in his third week here, and he's got another like week and a half to go. So maybe that's why I'm a little steamed up. So we'll bring him on. Maybe it's a good idea for me to take a glass of water, cool off, bring him on. We'll talk about the joyous occasion that was day one of the National Sports Collectors Convention right after this. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest year. And we are back, and I'm pleased, and I'm sure most of you are excited that we are being joined right now by my brother Ryan, who's at Sports Card News on Twitter. And he attended the National Sports Collectors Convention today on day number one. Ryan, how'd it go there? Let's focus on the good parts first. Let's just talk about first getting into the show, maybe like when it's all open and everybody's kind of piling in there. Like, what was going on? What were people seem to be really maybe like kind of excited about, and what were people like kind of digging that was going on at the show?
I think for the Wednesday, the VIP sneak peek, these are pretty serious collectors, because they showed up here, they've got a VIP pass. So on and so forth. So they're after kind of some of the added value in these wrapper redemptions that Panini had, that Top had, and that pretty much every company has, where depending on what product you buy, you can get X, Y, and Z. Pretty much everybody I talked to or most people that, not everybody, but most, a good number of people that I talked to were after some sort of rapper redemption, whether it was the Topps one, whether it was getting Panini packs or Leaf or whoever it was. So, you know, a lot of people rushed to go stand in the Topps line. I met a guy who stood in line for like an hour, and then he missed out by like seven people or something on getting a set. So, and he made a great point, actually, this guy. That he's like, why don't they just hand out 100 tickets? They only have 100 sets to give away each day. He's like, just hand out 100 tickets and let the other people go on their way. Like, don't make people stand in line for 2 hours. Like, it's so stupid the way Pops and Pops runs their little promotion there. And what's another thing, and I might get off on like a negative tangent. Maybe that was because, I don't know, people, a lot of people are negative towards you and I for whatever reason. Neither of us spent very much time at all on this industry. Like, that's what's hilarious. That's what just cracks me up. Neither of us take this, maybe we take it seriously, but not on a day-to-day grind basis. I got better things to do.
I don't know about you, but no offense to anybody that does grind it. No offense. Like, honestly, I sincerely mean that, but I honestly would much rather be playing golf and watching TV or doing stuff like that than grinding about cards, but that's another story. That might be on my own problem, but go on.
Aside from this card show, I haven't done a single work on our website. I have this whole entire month, which is gone now. We're in August 1st already. It's 2:30. It's 2 o'clock here in Chicago, so it's gone. I literally haven't worked on that website for the entire month. So for anybody who thinks that this is like a big, serious thing and shit, like, it's a joke. Like, I don't get it. And if you listen to what I said yesterday on the Sports Card Live podcast that I do with Mojo Break, I brought up a lot of valid points about the health of the industry. And the National Sports Collectors Convention, great show, wonderful. I encourage everybody to come. But it's a nursing home. It's a bunch of old men, both dealers and the customers. It's old-ass men here. It's not like young kids like it was back in Anaheim when they had like 10 million people show up to the thing and probably half of them were kids. It's old men. This is an old man's hobby. It's a niche hobby. It's grown men spending money on sports items. And all the companies from the auction houses to Panini to Topps to Upper Deck, they just want to grab some of that money. Period. End of story. They want to take that money and run. Somebody prove me wrong.
I mean, I don't know.
I heard a lot of chatter on Twitter. I kind of ignored it because I've been waiting like 6 months for this card show to start. And so I hear a lot of chatter, but nobody makes any valid points. Nobody. Not industry summit guy, not anybody made any valid points that this isn't a grown old man's hobby. And then in 10, 20 years, it's going to continue to die out. It's going to continue to die out.
Well,
it's not a negative thing. It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. But people don't care because they have to sell, you have to buy $7,500 worth of stuff to get into this VIP Panini party, which I could give a shit about. Like, who gives a fuck if Yasiel Puig is going to be at this stupid party? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, really? Like, and you gotta spend $8,000 to get in? Like, it's stupid. Nobody made any valid points, I think, today. None. Zero. None. Valid points. Especially when you're talking about innovative with group breakers. But I don't even want to go there. I don't even want to go there with group breakers. Tell me how you're gonna scale that business. How are you gonna make $1 million a year in group breaking? You're not. It's a small business. It's a hobby. It's a sideshow. A joke. Anyways, but that's besides the point. Well, I made one comment about the demographic of the Nationals, which is the absolute truth. Nobody proved me wrong.
Well,
nobody said you're wrong, period.
I guess my only point would be I can think of, like, coin. If you go to, like, a coin show, I guarantee you, it's going to be a bunch of old men there collecting coins. However, what they're collecting, one, has monetary value, that's whether you believe in your government or whatever the coin's from or not. But there is people do value silver and copper and gold for a number of reasons. So I wouldn't be as concerned if I was at a show like that and there was a bunch of old men there and it might die out. Yeah, well, you just melt down. People that would then would just buy the coins for their melt value or for making in other industries. With cards, once the market dies out, you have pieces of cardboard with guys' pictures on them. There's not a whole lot there to support. There's not as much there as like an industry like coins or maybe even like comic books that is probably like mostly male. Maybe not comic books might be a more of a younger demographic, but certainly coins. There's not many kids collecting coins or stamps or things like that these days, but there's some underlying value there. There's other things in those hobbies that help elevate those and not give – cause the kind of concern, at least for me, that like sports cards in general have, because it's just paper with guys' photos on it. It means it does nothing.
They're taking steroids. They end up fucking their career like half the time. They come out hot, and then they do something stupid, or they're not that good, or nobody turns into Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, and all these guys, Derek Jeter. Those guys are few and far between, but nobody wants to learn that. And it's just, you know, and people are always chasing the next, you know, hot guy, the next big thing. And next year it'll be somebody totally different. Like, we won't even be thinking about Yasiel Puig next year. Like, the kids, they'll probably be talking about sending him down to Rancho Cucamonga.
Well, yeah, we're not talking about Mike Trout. Mike Trout was Yasiel Puig last year. And yes, certainly Mike Trout's still a great player, but and his cards are still certainly worth a lot of money. But the upward trajectory is not there anymore. The upward trajectory of his cards is not there.
I went to an Angels game when I was in Anaheim. I went to the Angels game for like $3. I sat lower level for like $3. There wasn't a whole bunch of people wanting to watch Mike Trout play. Is he good? Yes. Is he transcendent? Not really. Like, not really. Like, I could go around Chicago and ask people who Mike Trout is. Not that many people are going to know who he is. Are they going to know who Michael Jordan is? Yes. Wow. Are they going to know who Kobe Bryant is? Yes. Of course, the big, but those guys are so few and far between. So it's silly to think that this is like a long-term business when you don't have kids involved. I'm just shocked at how few kids there are here and how the manufacturers, how people maybe running the show, they don't care. Nobody cares. They're all just trying to grab this money from these old-ass 90s guys and shit who have money and stuff. I was sitting there waiting for a dinner tonight, and there was a card show. One of the guys who works for the big auction houses, and he was on the phone to a guy. They're consigning something for him. And all I was talking about was bragging how he's got all these big shots who are going to spend $10,000 on some kind of item. Like, that's all these guys care about is money. All of the, like, pretty much all it is money to these guys. Nobody cares about the health of the industry and 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now. Nobody cares about that. I made the same point yesterday on Sports Card Live, so I don't want to, like, berate this, like, too much here, but nobody is thinking about 10 years from now. They're all thinking about tomorrow. And the VIP party on Friday at Yasiel Puig.
Well, they have to. They don't have any money saved up for 10 years for. They don't have money saved up for next week, for their next order or for their next product or whatever it is. These companies don't make a whole lot of money, so I can understand why they have such a narrow focus. Whereas companies like Google and companies like Apple that make a lot of money invest in some weird things like Google Glass or going to space or doing something wacky like or making a watch that might not even come out or a TV that might. It's because they make a ton of money and they can see 10 years down the line. And but companies that don't and businesses that don't make a lot of money, they're always looking for the next thing. They could care less about the health of their industry. They're just trying to pay their bills for next month. So I think it's just a sign of where the industry's at. There's a lot of people that talk about money, but it's really more revenue. There's very few people making enough profit to retire on. And I think I made that point today on Twitter, was making money is one thing. Making enough to retire on is a completely different thing. And if you ask anybody that's gone to college or even not, that they could understand that. Anybody can make money, but few can make money, enough money to where they can retire. At an age that you're not crippled.
And a lot of these businesses are very hard to scale. That's going to fly right over people's heads. They're going to be like, I'm just going to start a group-breaking site and I'm going to be a millionaire. How are you going to scale it? You're going to have to break 24 fucking hours a day to fucking scale that thing to make $250,000 a year, especially. And here's the thing that's going to happen, is this is all going to whittle down. Eventually, your margin is going to be 5%, like everybody else, because the barrier to entry, like you mentioned, I think, and the only reason why the industry summit guy is chiming in about these group breakers is because he wants them to come and pay $400 for his thing in Vegas.
That's cool. I'm down. That's cool. I'm okay with that. But people need to understand that his opinion is extremely biased.
Don't make it seem like you're an idiot and that I'm an idiot for bringing these points up. He has no clue how hard it would be to scale a group-breaking business with nothing proprietary, no barrier of entry. Why don't we start a group-breaking site?
Oh.
God, if you type in certain sets, we'd probably show up number one in Google and a bunch of different sets. Wouldn't it be advantageous if we could just sell spots in a group break off every one of those fucking pages that we create? Of course it would. There's no barrier to fucking start a group break. In fact, these distributors would suck anybody's dick to get fucking customers and get people ordering cases and shit. Because these guys are all making money on Magic and board games and Yu-Gi-Oh! And all this other shit. I mean, cards are like a secondary concern for most people. I went into a card shop here in Chicago yesterday that's been here for 18 years. He says he keeps his doors open because of Yu-Gi-Oh! I was in a fucking card shop in Burlington, Iowa, which is like stepping back in time 50 years. He keeps his doors open because of Magic the Gathering, not because of Yasiel Puig and the new top set. Period. End of story. Somebody prove me wrong. Somebody show me otherwise. Sure, there are some examples of successful businesses, but they're few and far between. And in 10 and 15 years, those guys may not be around, and there's nobody going to be around to step into it, because this is a dead business. It's a grind. It's an everyday grind. You've got to sell the next set, break the next case, create the next checklist, create the next product, get a license for the next sport. It's just a grind. Yesterday I equivalent it to a mouse on one of those wheels, like a hamster cage.
You never retire.
It's spinning. You're never going to make a lot of money. That's why these card shops have to sell Yu-Gi-Oh! That's why these card shops have to sell Magic. That's why somebody like yourself, who was flat broke in 2008, flat broke, had no money, like literally no money, started a baseball card website, had some success for it, but then realized maybe a year, 2 years ago, holy shit. There's a lot easier ways to make money than to sit around and grind over this sports card shit. God damn, I know how to set up websites, I know how to monetize them. Fuck, I'm going to do other shit. And that's what people do. They move on from this industry. There's no reason to stay in it. You know, there's outside of check out my cards, there's very little innovation, period.
Well,
like you said, these group breakers are opening cards on camera. Wow. Wow, so fucking innovative. Like, that's nothing. That is nothing. And it's not profitable because it's not scalable. You would need a 5-man operation. You need to break 24/7. You would need, you couldn't make a living breaking cards, period. Most of these guys have sugar mama wives. Trust me.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
You see the group breakers. you should see the group breakers that have booths here. I'm not going to name names, but the group breakers that have booths here, they all have some hot chicks sitting there. Dead serious. I'll take pictures of them tomorrow and put them on Twitter. And you can see.
I'm sure people will look forward to that.
The girls probably make $50,000, $60,000, while the guys sit around and play with cards. But the one idiot whose wife came in was like, oh, yeah, hey, I texted you 10 minutes ago. Are you ready for lunch? That woman probably makes $50,000 a year while a fucking idiot guy sits around and plays with cards and raps on video. It's a fucking joke. These guys aren't going to save the hobby. They're going to make a little money for themselves. They're going to make money for the distributor. They're going to get a VIP pass into this Panini thing. But they're not going anywhere. They're not saving this fucking thing. It's a joke. This is an old man wheelchair hobby. Period. 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old men. The wheelchair business. I'm here. I'll take pictures of these guys tomorrow. You know, it's a small business. Like it's a small, small thing. And I think people should just keep that in mind. And I was just shocked at how many people were, like, trying to making these retarded points. I mean, absolutely retarded. I was just sitting there kind of reading it while I was actually trying to enjoy myself in the show. I'm like, wow, do you guys even really have a clue? Like, do you guys really even have a clue?
That's why they're group breaking. My point on a couple podcasts, does Warren Buffett bust boxes? Does anybody rich that you know open boxes think that's a good idea and do it on camera and sell spots into it? Hell no. No rich person I've ever met would think that's a good idea.
It takes way too much time. If it was one pack per box, if it was one card, one pack per box, yeah, you could just open it and send it out. If you could do these fucking raffles and shit, I mean, yeah, that's easy, sure. That's why they were doing these raffles. Because they couldn't make any money. Why would you do something illegal if you were just crushing it? You're making $500,000 a year and shit. Crushing it. Easy money. It's a joke. That's why all these people go into other businesses. The card shops go into Magic. The card shops go into Yu-Gi-Oh. Me and you do other shit. When do you work? When do I work?
Never.
Never! Never! I'm on vacation! I'm gonna go tour with Paul Jan in fucking November! I'm gonna go to the Arizona Fall League! I don't work! Get a clue, industry! Hello? Hello? There's a reason for that. And it's not because of baseball cards at all. Period. This is a fun thing. So I try to make it fun, but then I have idiots like Mark Sapir call me soft. 10 minutes before I'm gonna go into the National and join myself, fucking idiot calls me soft. Hello, Mr. Sapir.
For those
the other media guys. Show me the other fucking idiot media people in this industry. Are they soft? If I'm soft, what are they? Fucking Pillsbury Doughboy? Get real. Fucking call me soft? Holy shit. These fucking people are so ignorant. Stupid. They have no clue about this. Why did he leave? Tough. This was a $80,000 a year kid with stock options and retirement fund and all this shit. Why did he leave and go sell dog food? Huh? If this was such a great industry. And he's lucky I didn't fucking blast off on him today. I was trying to have a good time going to this card show, which is an absolute blast. All this ranting and raving kind of, we're missing the point of how fun this card show is and some of just the precious people that I meet. Really good people, actually, here. People that fucking aren't in this for all about money and squeezing you for every dollar you have. There are some really good people. That card shop owner in Iowa, who's actually here, one of the best guys I ever met. The guy who runs Elite Sports Cards in Chicago, one of the nicest guys I ever met. Love talking to him. Would sit there and talk to him all day if I could. The night I bought some national pins, they have little, collectible pins or whatever from old national. Just two adorable, just older couple. I mean, I was like, wow, you guys are awesome. I saw this kid who had to have been like 7, 8 years old. He comes up to the Panini, so at the National, what happens is you can buy like a prestige football box. You buy that, and you take it to the, you don't open it, you buy it from like DA Card World, you take it up to the Panini booth, and you open it there, and they give you some rapper redemption packs, special national rapper redemption packs. This kid pulls a Kobe Bryant on card autograph to like 5 or something. Kid's like 8 years old. Like he's like totally stoked. It's things like that that are like really special. And not group breakers making fucking money and shit, and not dealers fucking making money and shit. DA Cardinals gonna fucking sell $2.5 million worth of boxes. Who gives a shit? Like really, who gives a fucking shit? So for me, I try to make this fun. It's a small business. It's a small hobby. The sports cards is a small thing that me and you do. But I think there are very few people. I don't know why we seem like the only ones that are concerned about the 10-year, 15-year, 20-year span of this industry, and why do you have idiots like Mark Sapir fucking get on me 10 minutes before I fucking I'm here promoting. I spent several thousand, first of all, being here. I have no way to make money. We're not making any money on this podcast. I'm not making any money on the tweets on Twitter. God knows that. I'm not making any money on videos I upload to YouTube. I mean, I make like $2 or something total, like for the year. So it's nothing. I never blast a link to my website. I'm not going to write a fucking article with fucking eBay affiliate links and shit. It's like, what the fuck are you getting on me for? I'm here promoting the industry. Get on some of these other fucking butt kissers and shit and people who are just in this for the money. Ask around. There are actually a lot of people who I talk to who are like, yeah, there's a lot of people in this industry who are just in it for the fucking money. Period. End of story. They're all trying to grab these old men money and shit. I mean, these auction houses are a perfect example of that. I mean, they're just preying on these old guys who have a shit ton of money and who'll buy a Mickey Mantle game used glove or whatever for $25,000. You know, so what? That's not going to do anything for this industry. In 40 years, barely anybody's going to remember who the fuck Mickey Mantle was. And you're going to rely on somebody like me being like, well, I'll spend $50,000 on that. But there's no kids here. Aside from the great kid who pulled that Kobe Bryant card, God bless that kid, there's not that many kids here. If they are, they're with their dad. I mean, we're in the mid-Chicago. I don't know how many people live in Chicago. Where are the kids coming over on the M train? Coming to the show? None. There are none. It's all old-ass men. Maybe that'll change over the weekend, but I remember the same thing last year. It's a wheelchair convention. It's old man convention. It's a senior citizen show here. Even the dealers. It's senior citizen show. Aside from the group breakers, and I wouldn't want to be group. I don't know how you group break in the midst. I mean, you can barely hear yourself in this big 500,000 square foot thing. Like, one thing I was going to mention on Twitter, but I didn't because I was trying to enjoy the show, is if we're relying on group breakers and tweeters like me to save this industry, it's going to burn out quicker than I thought. Yeah. Like, the industry may continue to not thrive, but kind of hold steady for the rest of our lives. Hopefully 40, 50 years. That could very well be the case. But if we're relying on group breakers who have no way to scale their business, none. No way to scale your business. Show me how you're going to group, break, product, and make fucking a ton of money without working 60 hours a week, first of all. How many hours do you think you work a week, Colin?
I probably work 60 in a year. Maybe.
Okay, 60 a year. I haven't worked at all this month. You know, is that something, I don't know. The way I grew up, it was like, you know, maybe the old school mentality is, oh yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to put a suit and tie on and I'm going to grind for 12 hours a day and make my living. I'm going to be proud. Fuck! Well, the way I learned it was make the easiest money you can.
Save it.
When I was broke or when I was in college or whatever, I was like, damn, dude, I would love to go see Pearl Jam play like 20, you know, if they do a tour, I'd love to go like 5 shows and shit. The only way you can do that is if you have money and that you don't really have to work, right? Oh, God, I would love to go to the Arizona Fall League. God, that would be so much fun. Go to 2 baseball games a day, just chill in Arizona. How are you going to do that? You better not fucking really have to work, right? Boy, I'd love to go to the industry summit. I'd love to go to this national card show. You better figure out a way where you really don't have to work for a living. Isn't that the smart thing to do, right? I don't know. Maybe me and you are dumb. Maybe the way you're supposed to live your life is work hard, 12 hours a day, and sort cards all day, and pack and ship all day long, pack and ship, pack and ship, pack and ship, boom, bus cases, case, YouTube video, Ustream, Vaughn Live, raffles. God, we'll just keep going and going and going and going. And card show and card show and card show and open a store and sit there for 12 hours a day in this card shop and make $80 in a week.
In a week? In a month sometimes.
In a month, yeah, no shit. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we know firsthand. Yeah, you can make $80 in a month and be really up shit creek. So it just made me, some of the things today, chuckle. Nobody made one valid point to the fact that I said, yeah, this is the old man convention. This is horrible for the industry long term. Is it great short term? Yeah. It's actually better short-term that there's no kids. It's actually better, to be honest. Short-term, today, tomorrow, the next day, Sunday. Like, it is actually better for the industry. It's going to be more money flowing through here. Tanya's going to sell out their little VIP thing, which just irritates the fuck out of me. That you have to spend $7,500 to get into some little thing, and these fucking idiot employees are going to be all drunk there and shit, just acting like they're the fucking shit. You ain't shit. Like, come on. Really? You gotta spend $7,500 to get into some kind of VIP party? Why don't you let all kids 18 and under get in free to this damn show? Not to knock the national people. This is a great event. This is a great show. They can't decide who shows up. They can't really control that. It's an old man's hobby anyway. I mean, regardless, I mean, no matter what you did, really. I actually think they should let kids under 18 free, but that's really not anything that they can really control. You know, they've got to make their money. I mean, the Rosemont Convention Center is beautiful. Beautiful building. It looks brand spanking new and
nice.
Clean. It's safe down here. I mean, this is an upscale neighborhood. I went into a restaurant the other day, and I was the only guy in a t-shirt. Every single guy in there was in a suit, like straight suit, like bawling. These guys probably tipped like $100, the waiter. I was like, whoa. I was like, whoops. I felt underdressed until the manager of the restaurant came up to me and started talking to me about Pearl Jam. I had a Pearl Jam t-shirt on, and she started talking to me about Pearl Jam. We just sat there and talked. We started talking about baseball cards, so it actually made me feel really good. But I don't know where I was going with that, but you know, it's a really nice environment down here, and they're going to come back here every other year. So they put on a good show. It's a great show. Lots of dealers. Anything you want down here, anything you want to find, low end, high end, expensive. You can get cheap stuff here. You can get cards for a quarter. You can get cards for a dime. You can get old boxes for $5. I mean, all day long, boxes everywhere for $5. It's some $3 blasters that a DA card roll, $5, you know, retail blasters. You could get the new product. You could spend $525 on a National Treasures box. You know, all this kind of stuff. You could get Cal Ripken's autograph, Roger Clemens, blah, 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 blah. It's a great show. It's really worth it to come up here. And it's not the Nationals' fault that, you know, this has turned into an old man's hobby. It's not their fault at all. They put on one show a year. So, you know, what are they going to do? It's really at the feet. And actually, Check Out My Cards asked me a very good question. He's like, you know, who's responsible for this? It is really at the feet of the people manufacturing these cards. I wouldn't put it at the feet of somebody like Check Out My Cards, who kind of set up this extremely, they're really the only innovative website that I've seen in the sports card category. And since we started doing this four or five years ago, it's literally the only thing that's innovative. The only other things I see are just kind of like this eBay affiliate kind of cheap looking kind of scripts and shit, rankings, bullshit. Nothing really, like, cool, to be honest. Anybody could set up, okay, I'm going to sell sportscardradio.shop and just list your cards for free. You know, hey, you can just come on here and list your cards. Anybody could do that. That's just not innovative. That's like easy shit. But he actually kind of, you know, he actually consigns your cards. You send them to him, he scans them, he packs, he ships them, and he does the whole gauntlet for you. He doesn't just, basically a photo sharing site, which there are a zillion of those out there. I mean, Facebook is a $25 billion company because you share photos on it. Pinterest is worth $10 billion because you just share photos on it. I mean, it's really nothing. Like, it's really not. And then when you niche it down to sports cards, it's worth nothing. It's worth zero. These sites like that. So the only guy who's done anything innovative is Check Out My Cards, as far as I can see, right? I mean, I can't think of another person or another business that's done something like incredibly innovative.
The funny thing is. He's going to find, maybe not in the near future, but he's going to make a hell of a lot more money on coins and comics and the other kind of things he's just beginning to branch into. Talk about money to be made. I mean, I know they've made plenty of revenue. I don't know how much profit they've made, but you can easily find out, get an estimate on how much revenue that company has done by timesing the amount of transactions they have by 25 cents or so. But he's going to make a hell of a lot more money on coins and comics if he ever can get into those markets. So,
right. He's just hired, I don't know what his intentions are, he just hired Mark Anderson, who for about 15, 16 years, I believe, was the head guy at BGS, Beckett Rating Services. And every time, I've heard him speak about three or four times at the industry summit, Mark Anderson is like, the one guy I want to hear talk. A, he cares. B, he's not in it for the money. C, he cares. D, he's smart. And did I mention that he cares? He cares about authenticity. He cares about collectors. He cares about customers. He cares about the business. He cares about everything. Like, the guy, I couldn't believe it. Hopefully I get a chance to actually, I never met Mark Anderson, but I've just heard him talk a lot. I'm like,
me too.
This guy's really, like, a solid guy. Like, the way he presents himself, I'm like, yeah, this is a really solid guy. And he had his family there at the industry summit. I just saw him kind of interacting with his family. Just observing him, I was like, damn, this is a guy I'd want, like, you know, running my ship. Like, you know, it just seems like a solid. And then Tim, who runs Check Out My Car, same idea. I mean, same thing with him. It's like, the guy's smart as hell. He cares. He's smart. He's not, you know, in it just all about money and stuff.
Well, he has a long term. Everybody needs to make money. I have never fault anybody to make money. You need to feed your family. But those guys in particular tend to have a little bit longer focus on things. They don't necessarily make decisions that are just affecting today's or tomorrow's bottom line. They might be doing things to help reinvest in their business, or I mean, they bought comc.com, a four-letter domain name. Is unless somebody in their family had that, they paid a fortune for that. What'd you say?
Probably $20,000 at least.
I would guess maybe more. I've seen very odd combinations. Five letters is one thing. Four, we're getting down to a really desirable domain name that a lot of people would want. And so just on that alone, people don't really – I don't know if a lot of – I've talked to a lot of people about websites. Not a lot of them know that three- and four-letter combinations, it doesn't matter what it is, are worth well into the five figures typically. So, I mean, it just shows you the company's an invest. Unless, like I said, somebody was smart enough to buy that whenever it was bought many, many, many years ago, 20, 30 years ago, maybe. I mean, maybe not that long, but maybe 20 years ago. But they've been reinvested in their business. How many box breakers have a four-letter domain or even have the money to do that? Or have a website that's as sophisticated?
Not that many of them have a website.
Right.
And all it is an ordering website. There's nothing. It's like a one-page website. They don't do anything kind of like timeless content or try to get natural search traffic, anything like that. All it is just, oh, here's this one. And then they delete like the, hey, but why don't you scan the card? It's too much work. That's why they don't do it. It's too much work.
Well, they're already doing too much work. You can't scan.
They're already doing too much work. You can't scale that. It's a small, like, one of your podcasts, you made a great point. It's a small business. Like, stop trying to treat this like it's the next $1 billion idea. It's not. It's a small, it's hard to scale. Look that word up. Scale. How do you scale a business? Look that up. It would be impossible to do that with group breaking practically. You'd have to open so much shit. You'd have to be sorting 24 hours a day. Hey, God bless you if you want to work 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week. I want to go see fucking Pearl Jam five times this winter. I want to go to the Arizona Fall League. I want to spend time with my family. I want to get home to California and enjoy the medicine and weather. I mean, it's fucking rainy. Like, it's fucking pouring on me today. I'm like, fuck, dude. Can I get out of here? Like, dude, can we have this show in California one time so it's not raining in fucking August? Like, Jesus Christ, but Chicago's wonderful. I'm not talking shit on Chicago, but rain. It's just, rained in Omaha, rained in Iowa, rained in Chicago, and I literally haven't seen rain since January, practically. So just one thing that got on me. I mean, I literally got drenched. Like I had stepped into a shower and stayed there for 10 minutes with my clothes on. That's how much rain came down.
We can tell you're from California when there's people out there that have very little sympathy for you. But maybe that's where all the box breakers live. They, since it rains all day, they can stay inside and open cards in front of a camera and sort.
They can work 70 hours a week. And,
I guess so.
And I just want to get back to the idiot. Point this out one more time. The idiot Mark Sapir saying that I'm soft again. Then if I'm soft, what are all these other fucking cocksuckers tweeting in media and quote-unquote whatever? What are all these idiots? They're all butt kissers. All they care about is money, too, but they just want, you know, they either care about a retweet or money or affiliate links or traffic or hits or whatever it is. Like, that's, you know, oh, shit. You know, stick it up the guy's ass. Trust me, I know this for a fact. You know, I know this for a fact. I've been around these guys. I've talked to some of them, or actually most of them. It's only a few guys that I would trust with a dollar, like literally. you know, these guys will stab you in the back at any chance you get. They'll make fun of you. They'll copy what you do on your website. They'll copy exactly what you do on your website, and then make fun of you the next minute. That's what I love. You know, they'll copy you and then make fun of you. Like, well, wait a second. You make a living copying off me, and then you'll make fun of me. So it's just interesting how it all works. It's an old man industry. So we're actually some of the younger guys, you know, in the group, you know. And some of these group breakers are young, too, but it doesn't seem like they have any business sense. It just seems like, oh, I'm going to open these cards on Vaughn Live and make a living off of it. Well, my wife is a nurse and works 12-hour shifts and makes $65,000 or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm the bowler. So, oh, your wife makes $65,000. That's why you fucking don't have. That's why you can sit at home and play with cards. How sickening is that, too? If you have a wife that works 12 hours a day, you fucking sit there and play with cards on Ustream and online. Like, are you kidding me? That's the kind of man you want to be. That's the kind of man you want. You bring your these literally. I don't even. Tomorrow I'll tweet pictures. There were two or three group breakers who have booths here at the National, and they literally have their little hottie, and they're cute. These girls are definitely cute. They have their little cute little wife or girlfriend or whatever sitting there with them. Like, really, dude? Get her on a taxi or train. Take her to downtown Chicago and let her go shopping. Do you really think she wants to sit there at the old man convention while you sit there and play with National Treasure at $500 a box? Come on. And your little chat box on your Vaughn Live, and you think you're fucking some kind of celebrity? Get the fuck out of here. Jesus Christ. Your wife has had to take PTO and shit and paid for the whole gig because she makes, like I said, she makes $65,000, $80,000 being a nurse. I used to hire nurses for a living. I know how much nurses can make. I know how much bad nurses can make. Trust me, I would try to hire bad nurses all the time for $15, $16 an hour. I would hire the worst nurse for $17, $15 an hour if she would go into the ghetto and do home care. Like, trust me, I know all about that business. And that's what these guys have. These poor girls work. What a shame. These guys aren't grown men. These guys aren't men. They're fucking putting their wives through like hell and shit. These fucking girls don't leave them and shit. Like, I'm going to go hit on and be like, shit, I don't have to work for a living, girl. I'll take some shopping. We'll let me chill. We'll never have to fucking sit on Vaughn Live. We'll never be on fucking vlog TV. Like, girl, we'll just go on the show. Like, fuck the show. We'll go to downtown Chicago right now and go to Louis Vuitton store. Go to Coach. Go to fucking whatever. Let's do this. Like, so, you know, it's just the industry. It's just, you know, people take themselves really seriously, and maybe I do too, but it just doesn't seem like anybody, you know, everybody's trying to grab money, promote themselves, jerk themselves off, and shit. And nobody really wants to, like, do something creative like what Check Out My Cards did. Or I can't even think of, like, another thing. Or set up a okay, there's no West Coast National. Do a West Coast show. I thought about that. I'm like, wow, how much money would I have to blow to do that? It would be fun. It's like, I'd blow too much money. I wouldn't do it. But hey, these guys, you know, these guys are supposed to be rich. And they, you know, have all this money, and they, you know, they don't have time. You don't have time. If you're opening four cases a day, you don't have time because you open them, and then you got to sort them, and then you got to ship them, and then you got to do your next thing. Because once you sold your spot, the money's gone. You can't sell your spot and then the next week make more money on it. Like, there's nothing proprietary, like you said. Nothing proprietary about pretty much anything in this business, aside from what Check Out My Cards is doing, some of the things that Becky does. I can't think, outside of those two companies, I can't think of anything that's, like, you know, really kind of tangible, you know, that anybody's really doing. To be honest, it's either pack and ship, box breaking, selling single cards, having a shop. None of that is prepared. That's nothing. That's nothing, and it's a dead-end game. Look how many card shops have closed. Look how many people were in Anaheim in the 90s, and look how many are here today. There was 450 super VIP and about 500 to 550 VIP. 1,000 people. In 1990, it would have been like 50,000. Because, it, you know, it's a different business. It was hot. People cared. And what did the companies do? They did the same thing that they're actually doing now. They're just diluting the product and just keep cranking it out, forcing these dealers to, you know, hit their next home run every time. It's a really poor business, actually, if you really think about it. Pretty much everything, you know, even with somebody like Warlock Hart, yeah, does he make a lot of money? Oh, yeah, he does. He makes a lot of money on his forum. That's what nobody saw. He probably makes six figures on his forum through the affiliate network. But anyways, let's throw the forum aside and just say, okay, his business, his pack and ship business. Okay, if he has no orders tomorrow, he sucked. He's got to keep getting orders. Boom, 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 boom. There's nothing proprietary about it. Nothing. Zero. There's no, like... You know, there's no residual income. There's no, like, dividend. Like, you invest, and then you keep getting money and money and money and money and money and money.
Talk about an easy way to make money.
Well, yeah. I know. No kidding. Like, but, you know, people make fun of you and me, and yet we're the only ones who don't seem to work. Like,
maybe that's why they're mad.
So, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe people should stop fucking trying to clown on us or talk shit or poke fun. I mean,
that's what we do the whole time.
Yeah, what do we do for a living? Nothing. I show up at the National. Guess what I'm going to do? I tell people, I'm going to go home and watch baseball for the next month, and then in November I'm going to go to Arizona and watch more baseball and watch the NBA and go see Pearl Jam and then wait for the Vegas Summit and go back to that and do that. That's the only time I really try to come to life. Because you could probably combine the number of tweets you have and me, and it's probably half as many as some of these jokers who are like on there 24/7 blasting Twitter with like nonsense, with like stupid crap. Like, that's why I just kind of filter. If you are just posting crap, you're gone. Like, I try to eliminate you from my consciousness. Like, it's a joke. Like, you're doing nothing. Then they'll make fun of you for going on about group breakers, or, oh, you really should calm down, or da da da. Shut the fuck up! Let a man talk! Shit! But don't complain! It's real simple. It's called the unfollow button, or the unfriend, or unlike, or
block.
Or stop. Block. Whatever. Just do it. Fuck! Don't complain about it. Shit. Start your own podcast. Start your own website.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah, it's really not that hard. Yeah, it's really not. It's really not.
It's easier than group breaking.
Yeah, shit. It's a lot easier than group breaking. I mean, you know, hey, these guys, you know, you're not in front of the camera. You're not kind of the stick star. You know, these companies kind of just blow you. These distributors fucking suck you off and shit. Because you're spending $15,000 a week and shit. And you feel like you're this big shot and shit. You know, you're like the star of the show when you got 30 people in your room. Wow, 30 fucking people. If you're going to make a living on 30, again, your wife is a fucking nurse at the local hospital and she works 16 hours a day. I'm being dead serious.
I know.
Somebody prove me wrong. One of these group breakers, show me that your wife doesn't work because of your group breaking. Somebody out there, please email me, contact me, SportsCardsNews on Twitter, @tweet me. See, I'm here in Chicago. I'll be in Arizona. I'll be in Vegas. I'll be in Phoenix. I'll be in L.A. I'll be in San Diego. I'll be in all these places here coming up soon. Come find me and show me your books and show me that your wife doesn't have to work because of your group breaking. No, she's a nurse. She's a school teacher. She actually does something for a living. You sit in front of a camera and fall live and have 30 people in the room and you're sitting here jerking off. You might as well start some kind of hand girl, you know, some gay, you know, porn site.
That's a good way to make money, actually.
That's a great way to make money, actually, to be honest. Like, great way to make money. Any niche like that is a great way to make money. So any type of straight, homosexual, whatever, type of porn business, like, that's a great way to make money. I don't know why guys don't go into that more instead of this group breaking on camera. Like, you know, God, it'd be way easier. You could just sit there and just wank, you know, wank off on camera. Boom, done. $20. Done.
Wow. The first day of the National, as you can tell, has gone extremely well. And
it's gone great.
Do you have any final thoughts, since we've gone on for about an hour here? Do you have any final thoughts on, you know, what you got to be looking, hopefully you're looking forward to something on for the rest of the time you're going to be there. You're going to be there in another 4 days, I think. So what is coming up in the next 4 days that is tickling your pickle?
Yeah, I mean, just walking around, looking around, buying stuff. I have a lot of videos that I'm going to upload, and just talking to people, meeting cool people, and hanging out. And I don't know, it irritates the fuck out of me when, like, people take shots at you. I don't really give a fuck if they take shots at me, because I'm just going to stick my middle finger right in their face and be like, fuck you. but if anybody ever takes a shot at you, or, like, you do, like, you know, you don't really, like, there's no ads on your podcast. You make nothing on the podcast. When's the last time you posted some kind of link with an affiliate link on your, and all I see is, like, some of these fucking idiots are trying to make money on Twitter nowadays by just blasting affiliate links. Like, what a joke. I mean, these guys are probably, the guys who probably do that are probably worse than the group breakers, honestly. Guys who sit on Twitter and like, whoa, look, there's 30 watchers on this fucking Alex Rodriguez card. Oh my God, 25 minutes left and it's fucking at $50. Really? Come on, dude. Fucking set up a blog. Set up a blog. Put a picture of the card. Write like three sentences. Put your little affiliate link on your blog. And so that maybe 6 months later, oh, guess what? Somebody might come to that blog and click on that link. But guess what? On Twitter, 6 months later, you're not going to get clicks. Nobody's going to search your six-month-old tweets, but they might search your six-month-old blog. So there you go. I just fucking taught you how to make money. And this goes for group breakers, too. Why don't you write three sentences a day and set up a little blog post, put a little affiliate link, put some ads. Oh, wow. That might be an easy way to make money. Wow, that's a really novel idea. God, people have copied what you and I have done and make a living off of it. There's probably seven or eight guys on one website who literally just copied exactly what I thought of when I was flat broke in Stockton, California. We're living on Stadium Drive by University of the Pacific. I thought, hey, it'd be a great idea if you just put the checklist on one page and put the pictures. And, you know, it wasn't like a data call, like on Beckett's website, or it wasn't a PDF, it wasn't an Excel, and shit. I can't even access PDFs and Excels on some of my tablets and phones and shit. Boy, it would be great if you could just go to the webpage and there's pictures. There are people who, I thought of that idea. That wasn't something that was out there, period. And all on the whole, we get kind of ripped off and shit. Yeah, no kidding. People rip us off and literally make a living off of that. And then they'll make fun of us. And then those same people who rip us off will make fun of us. So that's why people wonder why, you know, sometimes I fucking, like, blast off on people. It's like, shit, because I feel like I've provided a living for, like, seven or eight people in this hobby. For an idea I came up when I was broke. When I was literally flat broke. Made no money. Had no money. Didn't even have 50 cents to buy Pepsi. I wanted to smoke, I had to borrow money, I had to go hit the guy up and shit. It's like, you know, I'm broke, and now 7-8 people in this industry make a living off of an idea I had when I was broke. So, thank God, fucking, you know, they don't come in and copy everything else I do, so I'll fucking bitch slap them if they ever did that, so. Anyways, day one at the National, great time, hope to see you out here, you ever fucking talk shit to me, I'll fucking beat the fuck out of you on Twitter or in person or whatever. So that's basically all I have to say.
Very good, very good. Well, we'll catch up with you probably tomorrow or the next day. And hopefully we'll see what happens. Maybe you'll score some big hits at the National or something will happen that'll really be exciting. But who knows?
Something good happens usually. So I'm actually anticipating when I go on vacation, good things happen. I mean, I got 4th row Cubs tickets last night. I got comped a suite in Vegas after, you know, I was getting hated on and shit. And then I get a fucking presidential suite. And I was like, oh, yeah, I knew I was fucking right about something. And then the guy, you know, the top idiot, Mark Sapir, quits 4 weeks later after I blast him and shit. Pretty much now it's the cool thing to do to rip on top. Like back when you were doing it, it was like, oh my God, like you're fucking like a sinning and shit. Like you gotta go to the church and repent your sins and shit because you talk shit on top, you know. And oh my God, how could you do that? And oh my God, the holy grail of top. And now it's like the thing to do. If you're not ripping on top, like you're kind of like a butt kisser. You're like, dude, like really, dude? Top customer service sucks. You're sitting here jocking them, like literally. But how did that happen? How did it happen? We didn't make any money on it. And actually, we would have made a lot more money if we just sat there and kissed their ass and kissed Top's ass and didn't raise issues and didn't raise valid points, very valid points. We would have made way more money. way more money. Like, I'd be balling. I'd be balling more out of control right now. If we were just, oh, I'm going to jump pop dick and, oh, no, everything's cool. Don't worry, you'll get your redemption card. They won't send you. You'll get your Jimi Hendrix relic piece instead of a sticker. Doc Gooden was signing for free here, by the way, today. You could just stand in line. He's signing for free, but, you know, if you had a $400 Jimi Hendrix relic, you know, oh, you get a sticker auto. Doc Gooden was signing on cards, didn't he? He wasn't signing stickers, you know, and then he put it on the card. He would actually sign whatever you handed him today for free. So, anyways, I thought we made some valid points, and, you know, you kind of got ripped for it. I mean, you got hammered for that.
I loved it. I loved every moment of it. That's the thing, is I loved every moment of it because I knew they'd be proven wrong at some point, and they'll be sitting in bed at one point in their life, and they'll think, man, why did I think sticking up for Tops was a good idea back in October when you could have just gone to any forum or read any email a collector might have sent you, and it would have been full of complaints.
They don't care about collectors. They care about money. About the money the collectors have, they don't actually care about the industry or the collectors or their health or their needs or their problems, their issues. They don't care about that. They just want to blow Tops 24/7, blow the company. Oh my God, Panini, you're so great. Oh my God, Mark Sapir, you're the fucking god and shit. Fuck that motherfucker. I'll tell that motherfucker he's a fucking idiot right to his face. I pretty much did that at the industry.
I'm sure he's listening. Actually, I almost would guarantee you that he's listening.
God, you're a fucking idiot, bro! What the fuck is talking shit to me? Fuck on me! Hey, Mark Sapir, hey, if you're listening, instead of calling me soft, why don't you look around to all these other quote-unquote media people who either blow fucking your former company or just pretty much blow every... Why don't you call them fucking soft? Huh? Why don't you call them soft? Why don't you recount the conversation we had in Vegas where I basically looked you in the eye and was like, I don't give a fuck about anybody in this fucking room. Period. Period. I don't need anybody. This isn't how I make my money. This isn't fucking my life and shit. Do I care? Fuck yeah, I care. Because God, talk about, imagine if the sports car boomed. Like, you know, back in the, for some reason there's some renaissance and shit, like tight jeans and shit. You know, it came back in style. You know, like, imagine how much money we could make if it came back in style. So, you know, there is that selfish thing that, like, wow, I would be, like, primed. Like, God, if I was, like, the tight jean expert, you know, and tight jeans came back into style, God, you could have made a lot of money. If baseball cards, for some reason, came back into fad or stock, God, we'd probably be fucking quadrillionaires at that point. Like, you know, we'd be set up perfect for that. So, anyways, Mr. Spear, instead of calling me soft, 10 minutes before I'm about to go, basically promote the industry, not for free. I'm actually losing money here. Losing a lot of money, being I've spent thousands of dollars on this excursion just to be out here. And I'm not going to make any money back. I have no way to make money back. I don't have any desire to. It was causing me to work, and I don't want to work for a living, really. So I want to go on tour with Pearl Jam. So I'm here for free. Oh, I'm actually not here for free. I'm here losing money. And you're fucking calling me soft while all these other fucking quote-unquote media people are fucking soft as
and wasn't it originally Mark Sapir? He got on a phone conversation with you trying to get you to only say soft things about Tops. Like, he originally asked you, this is an employee when he worked at Tops, Mark Sapir. He called you on the phone and asked you to stop saying negative things about him. So he wanted you to be soft. And now all of a sudden he doesn't work for them and he doesn't want you to be soft? I mean, this guy's a joke. This shows you the idiots that are in this business. They're idiots.
Well, he sits there and he kind of clowns on Ryan Gray. Like, why are you talking shit on Ryan Gray? Like, first of all, if you worked at Tops or whatever, and I love actually some of the comments that Ryan Gray directs, it's like, bitch, you're an employee.
Yeah.
Bitch, you're an employee that doesn't even work there anymore. Like, shut the fuck up. Who the fuck are you? Who the fuck are you? You're a fucking employee. Shut the fuck up. Really? You're nothing. You're an employee. You're a former employee. You had no equity. None. Zero. No stock. Zero. Done. You're nothing. You're an employee, replaceable. You were replaced. Period. They had a bunch of kids who were at the booth that were younger than I was there today. Just kind of, you know, standing around and doing these rap redemptions. They made guys stand in line, even though they knew everybody knows there's only 100 sets to give away. Like the guy I was talking to today, you got 100 tickets. To let everybody go about their way on the show. You couldn't even get into the blowout booth because the line was so far, because the top booth is kind of next to the blowout cart booth. And so the line, like, wrapped around. I was trying to get over to the blowout booth, and I was like, damn, I can't really get over there because of all this tops and all these fucking idiots in the top line. So I was like, you know, it would have made it real simple to hand out 100 tickets, like the guy said, made a very smart point there. So, but, nobody had time. You know, they had five people working there. None of those guys thought of that idea. I love, we're all supposed to blow these companies, and they're all supposed to just be so great. Oh, my God. Marquee's out. Yeah, Ginter's coming out. Oh, my God, I'm flipping out over the Ginter autograph checklist. Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. Blast some affiliate links and shit. Oh, most watched fucking Ginter card on eBay. Here it is. Holy shit, here's the checklist. It's a joke. This industry is, you know, old man industry. People are just trying to hang on to their little, you know, 28,000 that they get out of this industry, that little chunk, and then their wife goes and works fucking 12 hours a day to make 70,000 for them and shit. That's a lot of these guys. Somebody prove me wrong. What does your wife do? Does your wife not work? No, she's the breadwinner. She's the one making all the money. Why you sit around and play with baseball cards? Wow. Big, hotshot grown men in this industry. Letting their fucking wives do all the work. What a joke. You guys should be ashamed of yourself. You guys out there doing that should be fucking ashamed of yourself. Fucking joke. Sue me for slander. Where's all the lawsuits? Oh, these guys are so rich. Why didn't they have a lawyer?
I'm still waiting.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm still waiting too. Shit. I'll call fucking all four of our lawyers and we'll fucking counter sue and do this and this and this and fucking ruin you guys. Shit, bring it on. Fucking cocksuckers. Just sue me for that. All you fucking group breakers are cocksuckers. Sue me, bitch.
Wow. This is one of, excuse me, this is one of the most classic episodes I think we've had in the 5 year or so history we've had.
I know sometimes probably the people who normally listen to your podcast, when I come on, because I know during the industry summit there was a lot of F-bombs and yelling, this, you know, they're probably like, what the fuck, can we not get the brother on, can we just talk about prison hockey?
The moms, the kids that have moms are turning down the podcast real low this week.
Sorry about that. Yeah, if you're a youngster, I'm really proud. If you're like, oh God, the father's son who like listens to your podcast.
I might try to put the explicit logo on this one.
Very explicit. Very explicit, yeah. So I apologize. All you guys out there, I really apologize. You know, and the thing is that me and your lovely host, Colin, here, we do care about the industry actually a lot.
Probably too much.
Maybe a little too much. But we're not out here to exploit you. We're not out here to, like, take your money. We're actually a lot of times, trying to look out for the industry, I guess the greater good of the industry, which people think is like, oh, fuck you guys. You guys are doing it for attention and shit. No, I want to go see Pearl Jam and go to the Arizona Fall League. I'm not doing that for attention. You know, just having attention in sports cards is not going to help me. Like, we would make so much more money if we just kissed everybody's ass. So just think about that. How much more? I'll put it to you like this. Me and your host here know how to make money online, period. I'm not going to tell you how or why or when, but we know how to make money online. And if we kissed everybody's ass in this industry, we'd make fucking a shit ton of money. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars a month. A lot. More than these group breakers' wives make. Which is actually pretty decent money for being a nurse or something or with a school teacher or whatever. We'd make way more than these group breakers' wives make. If we just kissed cops' ass. Kissed group breakers' ass. information, and I could have an interview with, you know, the greatest people in this hobby, like Mark Sapir, a pillar of this industry. We make thousands of dollars and we just blew these guys' ass. But just speak volumes that we're literally throwing money away. Literally throwing money away by kind of fucking sticking our middle finger at some of these guys. Literally sticking our middle finger up at these guys. But that should speak volumes. And whether or not you agree with anything I said or you know you said, just know that it comes from a good place. That we're actually losing money by doing stuff like this. You could have sold ads on your podcast 2.5 years ago. Could have sold it for way more than probably what it's worth. You know, I mean, you could have charged these guys $700 a month to run some little 30-second spots and da 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 da. We could have blasted way more affiliate links on the website and this. And we could have started a forum with automatic affiliate links and da da da. We could have started a group ranking site on our website and da 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 da. We could have hired like 4 different people and blah blah blah. Nah, we don't want to work for a living. But chill. Hang out and look out for the industry and you know, kids and you know, people don't get scammed and customer service gets dealt with and redemptions get dealt with and the biggest company in top fucking treats people, you know, right. That's what, at the end of the day, that's what we care about. Because we probably still want to be, and, you know, 10 years from now, we may not be updating a website continuously, but we'll maybe still do a podcast. I'd still like to come to the National. I'm going to go now. I'm going to plan to go next year and the year after. I think in a couple of years it's in Atlantic City, so I definitely want to go up there for that because Poker Stars will probably, you know, have a casino and by then. It'll probably all be legal by then, so, I mean, I'm trying to get out of that, so. You know, we still want to be doing this. I don't know if I'll be invited to Vegas again, but I probably will be, but, you know, that'll make the industry look real soft. Like, oh, yeah, no, you can't come. Like, oh, my God, we're so butthurt by what you say. And like, shit, show me somebody else who makes valid points in this industry. You know, all I see is affiliate links. And, oh, you look at me. Oh, shit, jerk me off. Oh, my God, retweet me, da 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 da. Just some of it makes me sick, but that's besides the point. I'm here in Chicago. Great card show.
Woo! There you go. Well, It's pretty late, I'm sure, in Chicago. It's kind of late where I'm at. So we'll wrap things up. We'll definitely have you on again later this week at some point. Thanks for coming on today.
Later.
Later.